He's the former international chair of African Enterprise. He worked in AE Uganda for many years. And this is of interest to me. He's got a PhD in mathematical statistics. Now, I'm starting teaching a science extension course that I haven't done before, and most of it I'm thinking it's fine. It'll be okay, but there's one part of the course I'm a bit nervous about, and that's the mathematical statistics. And so, John, if I give you a call later, it might not be about AE. I might need some help with that, but really looking forward to hearing from you. So let's welcome John up.
Thank you so much for... Okay, thank you very much for the very warm welcome. It's a joy for me to be here and to be able to meet with you and to have this opportunity the next few minutes sharing what I can. And I think there is supposed to be a Q&A after I have shared, but I've been introduced, so I do not want to say too much about that. Now, the normal thing for us in Uganda, where I come from, is always to first say something about my family. So you'll allow me just to say that very quickly. I have been married for over 40 years to my wife, Ruth. She's Dr. Ruth Senyonyi. She's a counselor. That's where she got her PhD. And lovely, lovely lady for over 40 years. She has kept me in line because that's a very, very difficult job. And I hope you can imagine it. And during those 40 years, God blessed us with 4 children, one girl and 3 boys. 3 of them are married. And one, we've been saying for the last 3 or so years that the last born is also threatening to marry. Now we can say he's actually on the path because he got engaged just over 2 weeks ago to a Dutch girl. And so we are looking forward to that time. And those who are married have given us 7 grandchildren, and we keep on telling them we are not yet tired of grandchildren. We really would love to have some more. Any grandparents here? They are the only ones who understand what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying that. You know, but thank you. Thank you so much. Let me begin, first of all, by thanking you for your support to the work of African Enterprise. It's a very, very special ministry, very unique in its ways, and I do hope that I'll be able to bring out some of that. So by way of testimony, I became involved with African Enterprise in 1988. I came to the Lord Jesus Christ in 1976, and worked a little bit when I finished university. Then I came to the University of Melbourne, where I did my PhD in mathematical statistics, which you've heard about. And then, of course, went back to Uganda. And it was in my 3rd year of working and teaching at Makerere University, which is the oldest university in Uganda and the premier institution, that the Lord now really brought out the calling on my life to leave teaching at university and to go into the ministry of preaching the gospel. Now, at that particular time, I did not say that I'm ready to go. And my wife in particular, who is a clergyman's daughter, she would have none of it. She said, I promised myself never to marry a clergyman. The only problem is she did not promise God never to live with one. So when she married me, I was not a clergyman. And the Lord knew that the only way she could live with a clergyman as a husband was by, first of all, you marry him, and then I tell him, get out. And so he did. And in 1987, while I was teaching at Makerere University, Bishop Festo met me And I like saying the questions that he asked me. He asked me two questions. Bishop, I hope some of you are familiar with Bishop Festo. Bishop Festo Chivengere, he visited Australia many, many times. And Bishop Festo Chivengere called me, and he asked me two questions. I like saying them in the way that he said them, because there is an importance I attach to the way he asked me those questions. The first question was, is God calling you to leave academia and come into the preaching of the gospel? The second question then was, if God is calling you, would you be willing to come and serve with us in AE? And so I answered him, yes, I know that God is calling me. And by that time, my wife had also said yes. And the second question was answered within 2 months. And I was able to tell him, I'm ready and willing to come for the work of evangelism. That's how I joined AE, 1988, January. And got involved in that ministry for the next 13 years, did theological studies as well during the same period. And for me, those were very formative times, because not only was I preaching the gospel and seeing people come to Christ, the truth is, I also now was honed in the ministry of preaching the gospel. I think when I talk about AE, I can say one of the things I loved about it is that all your life was preaching the gospel. Whether it is in the family, or you're on the street, or you are preaching at a crusade, or wherever it was, everything that you did. I mean, I would habitually just go, for example, I'm taking my car for a wash, and someone is going to wash it, and after they have washed the car, then I ask them a simple question. Are you yourself washed? And that would lead from one thing to another and lead this person to Christ. You know, and it did not matter what kind of work the person was occupied with, we could start the gospel from there. Even if you are a security person, I could ask you, and I still do, I would ask you that, you are keeping us safe, but who is keeping you safe? And then they are able to hear the gospel. So for me, that fact that you could preach the gospel in all and every situation was a very special one. But specifically, and as it relates particularly to the missions you have supported and for which we are truly thankful, those missions are conducted, at least for the time that I was serving with AE, they are conducted in a very unique way. Because the purpose is to camp in a city and arrange opportunity for each and every homogeneous group to hear the gospel. Let me take the example of the very first mission I got involved in. It was in Manzini in Swaziland. Swaziland is a small, very small kingdom just north of South Africa. And I would preach at least five times. And you know, I remember very well, sometimes a car would be waiting for me just outside the room where I'm speaking to take me to the next preaching engagement. Because the preaching then was in offices, wherever people would gather. They would be in schools, they would be in police stations, they would be in businesses, on top of crusades. And being able to proclaim Christ at a crusade and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is what we called stratified evangelism. The purpose was to reach people in their particular station, in the situation that they are in, proclaiming Christ relevantly to each and every one of them and leading them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of times, and this didn't happen only once. Maybe let me just cite a couple of examples. At one time preaching, and I remember I was on raised ground. It was a slope, and the city was over there. It was a crusade. and I'm preaching the gospel. And as I'm preaching, I noticed a man who had a bicycle and presumably was with his wife. And all of a sudden they turned. They were just passers-by. And they decided to come up to where we were. They sat, they listened, and then when I called for people to give their lives to Christ, they were the first to come to the front. You know, opportunities like those were very rare. Another time, again, another city called Bushenyi, which is in western Uganda. Here I am preaching the gospel. And as I preached the gospel, I think a young man was immediately convicted by the Holy Spirit, walked where I am, and came and stood beside me even before I made an altar call. That's the kind of ministry that we have been involved in African Enterprise. And I'm so thankful for the way that your support has made that very possible, has changed people's lives, has transformed people's lives in a very special way. Just last year, I think it was, in the very city where I live, called Mukono, we had an AE mission. And in that AE mission, I had the opportunity, of course, now I'm retired, but I live in that same place, and I had the opportunity to go and participate in that mission. I remember the pastors who had gathered, and we are proclaiming the gospel to them. And these pastors, some of them, their faith is shaky. And you are giving them an opportunity to also reflect on that, and also challenging them, if they are indeed firm in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they themselves may be proclaimers of the gospel. And I'm so thankful for that kind of work that AE has been doing. So when you look at many of these missions, they are not missions that are usually focused on just one group or other. Like you heard Robel talking and saying that it's a city of over 700,000. Now, what that actually means is that each of those groupings within the city, it can be the executive, and they have an executive dinner. It can be in the schools. It can be in whatever. When evangelists come into the city, there is an opportunity to divide yourselves in different groups. This one will speak to the executive today, and tomorrow they will preach here, and they will preach there. And you just find yourself so busy proclaiming Christ, seeing people coming to Christ. But also the other important thing is the renewal that happens in the churches. I do remember 1984, we went to a city and we proclaimed the gospel there. In the first place, the churches, because of their denominational differences, are often so divided. They don't see eye to eye. And of course, even sometimes there are theological differences. And one of the first things that usually AE does is to bring together the pastors, challenge them themselves, and bring them together to be of one mind, one heart in the proclamation of the gospel. Because that unity is what Christ prayed for, isn't it? That's really what he prayed for. So AE brings them together, they pray together, they think together, they plan together, and then you have the opportunity to proclaim Christ in all those churches. In one city, I do remember, it was the Roman Catholic Church that opened the door for us to proclaim the gospel for a whole week. They told us, come and teach us about marriage. And you know, as you teach about marriage, you are also proclaiming Christ. In another situation, and I'm talking about these because they are different cities. In another situation, it was a mosque, a Muslim mosque, opening its doors and saying, we want to hear. Come and tell us, what is it that you're saying? Of course, sometimes they want to argue, but the Spirit of God, it does not matter whether someone comes to Christ at that particular moment or not, you have planted the seed, the Holy Spirit will not let them go without thinking about what you have planted. And in all honesty, I have seen many Muslims not necessarily coming to Christ within the mosque, but thereafter, because they start now questioning, is where I am where I should be? And then they come out eventually and they surrender their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the kind of work that AE is involved in. At presently, AE is situated in 12 countries. In West, of course, there is Ethiopia, that's the closest to North, Eastern Africa, and Southern Africa. 12 countries, and there's great ministry that is going on in all those cities. As we plan for them, as we go there, as we proclaim Christ, and we see people come to Christ. I should say, what is it, you know, many times I've asked myself the question. Philippians 3:20 tells me that our commonwealth is in heaven. In other words, my citizenship is in heaven. And I've asked myself again and again, if my citizenship is in heaven, or let me say you are an Australian, where should you be living? Isn't it in Australia? So if my citizenship is in heaven, then I should be in heaven, which is far better, as Paul himself says earlier in that same book. I should be in heaven, not here. Do I want to continue in this world when I can go to a place where I can see my Jesus with his nail-scarred hands and to know that this is where I belong? However, when I think about it, it also comes with another question. Why does God leave me here for now? Why does he leave me here? And that question is answered by what Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 28 when he says, go and make disciples. Or indeed, as Bible interpreters will tell you, that actually that word there is not so much go as it is as you go. As you go, make disciples. And for that reason then, as we go, we need to be making disciples. Do you remember one time we did a mission in Egypt? And being a black man on an Egyptian street, it caused many people to ask, what are you doing here? Now can you imagine you are here for mission? Someone asks you a question like that. They've just given themselves away. And we're just walking on the street. And we started telling them about Jesus. Of course, it's illegal to start preaching the gospel openly. And I do remember well how in every church where we preached, I would be preaching here, and at the back, I do have the intelligence and security officers. They are not in uniform, but they tell you later, they've been here, they've been asking about you, what are you doing here, why is he here, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I said, I have never had such a wonderful opportunity that my skin gives me. It does. It gives me an opportunity. Because if you ask me, you have actually invited me to tell you about Jesus. And so as AE, when we went to Egypt and were preaching the gospel, seeing these people come to Christ, we could not but thank God. God has left you, has left me in this world for the one thing, to make disciples. And you can make disciples here in Australia, but also through the work of African Enterprise, you make disciples where people are in the trenches, they are proclaiming Christ, they are telling everyone about Jesus. What a wonderful opportunity that is, isn't it? It's a wonderful opportunity. So I thank God for that. And I thank you for that. And this, by participating in the work of African Enterprise, you are actually making a difference. You are making a difference. Of course, there is a difference even in your own life. Because there is the joy of the Lord that comes to you to know that I'm part and parcel of the great work out there. But at the same time, you are making a difference in the lives of so many others there that are coming to Christ. Because the gospel, by its nature, is transformational. Now, I just want to end with this. You have heard about the Adama mission. I want to say there, and I've been thinking about it a bit more, especially since the idea of the Adama mission kept on coming up. And the one thing that I want to bring out, why is Ethiopia important? Of course, Simba has said some of it. But I want, maybe many of you are not aware, other than its very, very historic importance on the continent of Africa, Ethiopia is actually the headquarters of the African Union, which brings together all the over 50 states of Africa. That's where the headquarters are. Ethiopia is a country that first heard the gospel, as you know very well from Acts chapter 8, isn't it? You know, that's Ethiopia was the first African country to experience the blessing of the work of the Holy Spirit. Ethiopia also, you've heard of the persecution. It's very interesting. But during the times of the Emperor Haile Selassie, the Christians in Ethiopia actually prayed for persecution. They prayed. Now, not many of us ever pray for, please, Lord, bring persecution. They were praying for persecution not because they were suicidal. They were praying for persecution specifically because they saw that with the Orthodox Church and all the veneer of Christianity that appears everywhere, it was not deep enough. And they felt that people were simply moving along religiously. So they prayed for persecution. I don't know if you knew that, but they did. And guess what? God brought it. God brought that persecution. And that persecution lasted many years. Of course, there is still a lot of turbulence in Ethiopia. But on top of that, it opened an opportunity for the church to continue growing. And that growing of the Ethiopian church is something that is being witnessed in other parts of Africa. And all I'm asking, will you be part of that great work of expanding and growing the church, establishing disciples on the continent of Africa that reach up to the top? I mean, I was introduced, and you may say, oh, this man has been around. Yes, I've been around. And it's very interesting that there are times when even heads of state have invited us. How often do you ever get an Australian Prime Minister inviting preachers of the gospel to come and listen? We do. We have got it. As a matter of fact, even in Uganda, the president has a day, and they normally they don't just invite anyone. They invite preachers of the gospel. I have been before presidents myself. An opportunity like that today, and I don't know what's going to happen in Adama, but even if it is the mayor of that city or whoever it is, and you reach the leadership, you know one thing. Even if they don't give their lives to Christ, the seed has been planted. Of course, we pray that those people will also come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and hear the gospel. And what a wonderful opportunity for you to participate, because AE has won the merits that allow heads of state to listen to us. In almost every country we've been to, presidents have come and attended every now and then. I think there was one recently in Botswana. I wasn't there. But I remember another one in Kenya. I remember another one even in Zambia. You remember when we were there, the vice president came and listened. The president himself did not come. I remember Malawi. All these are places that have opened up. Even in Swaziland, when we went there, the king did not meet us, but the queen mother, who is really a very powerful person in that nation, she met us, and she heard the gospel. Those are the opportunities that we are getting when we support this kind of ministry. So I want to thank you very, very much for your willingness to partner in the gospel, because it's a partnership. to partner in the gospel with African Enterprise, and I believe and pray that God will use you more and more, and you'll get more and more reports in Rwanda or wherever it is that will be telling you it was worth it. May God bless you. Thank you very much.